service today, we'll be closing out in our series that we've entitled Be the Church. And if you were here last week, we understood that we were a child of the Heavenly Father. And as a child of the Heavenly Father, we learned how to become a child of God. Then we saw the benefits of being a child of God. Then lastly, as we left, we understood that there's some things that we need to do in order to be the right kind of child of God. And that particularly is this: we ought to be obedient to Him, and we ought to be faithful to Him. So this morning, as we close out this series on Be the Church, we're going to look at another metaphor of the Christian life. And that is here in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. We're going to see that we ought to be an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word this morning. And we'll read just one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 20. Then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, for we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart and our knee this morning, Father, humbly coming before you, understanding, Father, that we are nobody and you are everything. So, Father, I pray now as we humble ourselves and bow our hearts and our knees before you, oh, Father, that you might hear this prayer this morning. Oh, Father, as we confess our wickedness and our sinfulness before you, Father, that you would cleanse us. Oh, God, I pray for your people as well, Father. They would take a good hard look at themselves, Father, and make sure there is nothing between you and them this particular moment right now. And Father, if there be, Father, they would clear it, Father. They would confess it as sin and make things right with thee, God, that the Holy Spirit of God might speak to their hearts about this matter of being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those that can't be here. We look out and see some are traveling today, Father, on the way back from a short holiday. Father, we pray for those who are sick and not feeling well, Father. Some recovering from hospital and some, Father, just home on the sickbed. Lord, we pray for them. Let them know that we're praying for them. We miss them here, Father, and we pray for a speedy recovery according to your will for their life. And then, Father, we pray for those that have to work today, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, be a help to them, Father. I pray that you'd work out their schedules, Father, that they would be able to be back in the house of God very, very soon. So, Father, we just love you this morning, and we thank you, and we do seek to give you honor and glory, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. There's so much in this metaphor of the Christian life and this idea of being an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador, understand, doesn't speak to please his audience. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care what people think about what he has to say. He speaks to please the king that sent him. An ambassador doesn't even speak by his own authority. As a matter of fact, the ambassador's opinions, the ambassador's demands don't really matter one iota. He simply says what he has been commissioned to say by the one that has sent him. But an ambassador is really more than just a messenger. He is also a representative, and the honor and reputation of the nation that he represents are in his hands every time he speaks. You see, Jesus Christ has given you and I the privilege of representing him here on this earth. And I want us to notice three things this morning about our ambassadorship, if you allow me to use that word, the ambassadorship that we have in Christ Jesus. Notice, first of all, this morning, the ambassador's access. The ambassador's access. You see, by representing his leader and thereby his country as well, an ambassador has privileges that most people don't get. Think about it this way. A diplomat's privileges are based upon a principle of extraterritoriality. And that word extraterritoriality simply means this. It's a principle based in international law and includes a guarantee that people living in a foreign land remain under the authority of their own government and not the land where they are temporarily living. I think there's four basic important diplomatic privileges and immunities that we have today. First of all, diplomats can't be arrested for any reason. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Their families often share in this same exemption. Number two, their residences, their papers, and effects cannot be searched or seized by the host nation. Their personal belongings, number three, can't be taxed by the country that they serve. And fourthly, diplomats, their families, and their staff enjoy complete freedom of worship in the foreign land where they are stationed. So as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, let's think about this. First of all, we have authorized access. Authorized access. The ambassador has the highest priority access to information and people because he is authorized to have that. He has been specifically chosen and no doubt appointed by the leader of the nation that he represents. In the United States, the president appoints all ambassadors. Now understand this, there's been in the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks, some talk about an ambassador not liking this, not liking our president, not want to follow his wishes. Understand this. They serve at the goodwill of the president. And after confirmation of the United States Senate, the ambassador has the authority to represent the United States of America in a foreign country. That same concept applies to God's ambassadors, which, by the way, if you're here today and you're saved and born again, we are God's ambassadors. We have been chosen and we have been appointed to represent Him, Christ, here on this earth. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord speaking says, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And then Jesus speaking in John 15 and verse 16, he says this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Now notice these next words, "that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You see, an official ambassador conveys special messages from the leader that he represents. Sometimes a diplomat will carry a diplomatic pouch with a specific seal on it, saying that it's sealed and no one has looked into that. Sometimes the ambassador, to the peril of his own life, protects that message and ought to be faithful to deliver that message to whom the president would have that message go to. Would you understand this morning that as an authorized representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are commissioned to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? The Apostle Paul spoke of it this way. He said this in 1 Timothy 1 in verse number 11. He said, "The glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Three times the Apostle Paul speaks of the gospel as my gospel. Two times in Romans, one time in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. So I want to ask you this question. We have been commissioned to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Do you, as the Apostle Paul, see it as my gospel that you've been commissioned to hand out to a lost and dying world? Charles Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, said this, "My gospel, does not this show his courage? As much as to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Or is it the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth?" He went on to say, "My gospel," as a soldier speaks of my colors or my king. He resolves to bear the banner to victory and to serve the royal truth even to his death if necessary. You see, an ambassador was committed to the message of God in a very, very personal way. Paul shared that message with anybody that crossed his path. I wonder if you and I do the same, or do we pick and choose to who and when and where we share that glorious gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think sometimes that we feel that when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart about sharing this gospel message as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, "Well, not now, Lord. Not that person. Surely you don't mean them. How about another time? Or how about this other person?" And I think you and I ought to understand that as an ambassador, we have authorized access. But then notice something else. We have an available access. You know, at the spur of the moment, the ambassador can request a meeting with his leader or perhaps the president and receive high priority on the list. Just this past couple of weeks, I've heard where an ambassador has put a word out to the White House that he wanted to speak to the president about a certain matter, and it was urgent and needed to speak with him about it. And within a few moments, within a few hours, the president has called back this ambassador. At the spur of the moment, an ambassador has the privilege to do that because he has an available access to his leader. But the opposite is true as well. The leader may summon the ambassador for a special meeting and at any time, whether it's day or night. And that happens more frequently than we care to understand. The ambassador will have to drop everything and travel back to the home country to keep an appointment with his leader that has requested this meeting. Of course, today we have a lot of different ways to communicate with each other. A lot of secure means that the president and the ambassadors can speak to each other. And so it's not always necessary for them to be recalled back from the nation they serve in back to the president of the United States. But sometimes, as you well know, there is no substitute for a face-to-face meeting where you can look someone, as I used to say, eyeball to eyeball and see really what the truth is. You know, it's no different for you and I. We always have access to our King, King Jesus, anytime, day or night. We never have to set an appointment up. We never have to wait in line. We never get a busy signal when we call him. We never have to leave a voicemail to the Lord and tell him our trials and our troubles. We never have to play phone tag with God when we call him. He always is available. He is available for us 24/7, day and night. You also think about this. He gives us the wonderful privilege to, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 states, to pray without ceasing. What a privilege we have. He never tires of you and I falling on our knees and unburdening our soul to him and intercessory prayer on behalf of the saints of God and ourselves. He never gets tired of that. And he says, Paul says, to pray without ceasing. You know, there's just some people, when they call on your phone, you look at it and go, oh, no, not them. Not that you don't want to talk to them, but you know, when they get on the phone and you start to speak with them, you could be there for 5 minutes, but probably it's going to be 20, 25, or 30 minutes, amen? And so you go, oh, no. So you fire off a quick prayer to the Heavenly Father. Lord, make this a quick conversation. Maybe we could be a help and a blessing to them, and then just be on our way. But thank God that he doesn't care about that. He'll speak to you as long as you want to speak to him. Pray without ceasing. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, we find these wonderful words. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because the Lord really has authorized us to do the work of the ambassador, guess what? We have a constant access to the throne of God. He has commissioned us. He has authorized us to do his great work of spreading the gospel. And because of what he has authorized us to do, we have a ready access to God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is always available to give us what we need to carry out the mission. I think about some Christian martyrs who faced horrible persecution for the Lord. And think about this. I wonder, could they have remained faithful without the access of their King for grace and strength in their time of need? Could they have been faithful without having direct access and immediate access to God the Father? Just think for a moment about the Apostle Paul in the maritime prison awaiting execution. Or how about William Tyndale, who was imprisoned in the castle of Vilvoorde outside Brussels in Belgium, awaiting execution for what you say, preaching heresy, for translating the Bible into English and preaching that salvation is by faith alone, apart from works. And then there's a man by the name of John Bunyan. What was he in prison for? He was in Bedford's prison in England for preaching the gospel without a license from the state. Understand this morning that even prison bars could not block the access to the heavenly King. And God was just available to them in prison as he was when they served him freely outside of those prison walls. No matter how dark the hour is, no matter where that you are this morning, we can always come to our King because we have an available access. We have a privileged access. Privileged access to the leader requires, get this now, diligent communications. Some ambassadors fail in their mission by not communicating with their leader. They go off to a far-flung part of this world and never communicate back to the one that has commissioned them, the one that sent them. And it's true that you and I, as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might sometimes, and we do, fail in areas of responsibility that he has given you and I to do here on this earth. But understand this, we must never fail in areas of this idea of communicating with him. We might sin and we might fail in other areas, but we must never fail in this area of staying in close touch with our Heavenly Father. As an ambassador for Christ, we have access, but then notice secondly, notice the ambassador's adversary. The ambassador's adversary. You know, it's not easy to live in a foreign country for an extended amount of time. Any of you that have done that, particularly those in the military, have been on a long tour, 3-4 years, or even 1 year, really, for that amount, understand this. It's not easy to be stationed in an overseas area. You can attest to this fact. It's not easy to do that. Adversaries in the form of struggles come, such as learning the language of that nation or adapting to the culture and the food and the norms of that nation. An ambassador has to be able to adjust to all of these while maintaining his loyalty and his identification with his native country. In hostile countries, we find the ambassador may have adversaries who work to hinder the mission. Did you know this, that we as Christ's ambassadors have a powerful adversary as well? Notice the adversary's attack. In 1 Peter 5, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." In 1898, when East Africa was still an English colony, British engineers and native countrymen were building a railroad line in that great nation. Two lions had been preying on the local workmen, and it seemed that they could do nothing to stop these two lions. In spite of every precaution that they would take, almost every night for several months, the lions would carry off at least one of the native countrymen. The lions eventually brought the work of the railroad to a complete stop. And you can imagine just the fear of the native workers. They, no doubt, they thought every night, "I wonder if it's going to be me. I hope it's not me, but I hope it's not you, but I'm glad it's not me." That probably was their thought. And so this went on, and finally the work just totally shut down. And the native people thought this, that the lions were really devils appearing in lions' bodies. Finally, a man came by the name of Colonel J.H. Patterson. He was put in charge of the railroad project, and eventually he was able, after diligent search and diligent hunting, to kill both of those lions. And do you know today that these lions are such a big deal that you can find these lions today in the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, Illinois? So if you ever get by there, you can go by, see these two lions that stop the work of the railroad in Africa. Do you know that the devil, he's our adversary, is compared to a roaring lion in the Bible? If you would ask me how to describe this roaring lion, I would say this, that he's a man-eater. He's looking for prey, and he wants to devour us. As a child of God, listen, he understands and knows this, that he can never get our soul, but he can try to ruin our lives and make us ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. One way that he does that, he gets us to conform to the world. We don't like to hear that as independent Baptists. We don't like to hear words like we are conforming to the world, because the Bible tells us we are to be transformed or be different than the world. By blending in with the world, we lose our effectiveness and oftentimes the testimony that God has given us. I think our first duty as Christians ambassadors is to seek the lost for salvation. That's what our duty is. Nothing must distract us from this duty and this calling that God has given us as his ambassador. In 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16, we find these words: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." You see, our adversary, the devil, He not only wants us to love the world, he desires us to become just like the world. Well, we have the adversary's attack, but then notice the good news, the ambassador's defense. And the question that comes to my mind this morning is this: can we fight such a powerful enemy? If this enemy seeks to devour us, if he seeks to cause us to love the world and fall in line with the world, is there any way that we can fight such a powerful enemy? Thank God that there is. In Romans 12, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, get these words, conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice really means this. It means that we're going to surrender our will to God's will. That's what it means when we present our body. It's a military term. And it means that we are to surrender our will, our choices, our way for God's way and God's will and God's choices. And when we do that, you know what that means? That we give up ownership and directorship of our own lives. That means we're no longer in charge of our own lives. And the Bible said if you'll do that, and when you do that, it's our reasonable service. And those who say, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to do as I want to, guess what? You are being unreasonable, because Paul says it's reasonable for you and I to surrender ourselves to his will. I think an ambassador fulfills their leader's desires. That's their responsibility. So after presenting ourselves to God, we find that we are to transform and renew our mind is the next step. So first we have to submit. First we have to present ourselves. Secondly, we have to transform and renew our minds. We can do that by filling our minds and filling our hearts with God's word. And then by staying away from those things that take our heart and our minds away from God. It's easy for us to sit here this morning on December the 1st in 2019 and say, yes, God, I am going to surrender myself to you. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice to you. But it's a whole nother thing to transform and renew our mind by not filling our minds and hearts with things that displease God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, a verse that we ought to memorize, says this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ. The writer of Proverbs puts it a little bit different in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, we have a very, very powerful adversary. But guess what? We have a mightier king than a powerful adversary. Submit yourself to God's will for your life and allow his word to renew and transform your mind. Well, an ambassador for Christ, we have access. And it's true, there is an adversary. But then notice, lastly, our assignment. You know, our duty is to represent God here in this world. That's why we are left here after the moment of our salvation. But our mission is to fulfill the Great Commission. So our duty is to represent God. Our mission is to fulfill the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things as I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So notice, first of all, it tells us to go therefore. Those words in verse number 19, go therefore. You ever think about this? Why did Christ tell his disciples to go all into the world and preach the gospel? Why did he tell them to go into all the world? Because Jesus had the authority to do that, and therefore he commanded them to go. That's why he could do it. Notice it's his authority that sends us, his authority that guides us, his authority that empowers us to go and do what he asks us to do. Here's the truth. You and I are authorized by the Lord to fulfill our mission. Our mission is to go. And we're commanded to go. Some may be called to go personally to foreign lands or prisons as a missionary. Others may be called to various places in their home country as pastors and assistant pastors, church planters, evangelists, Christian school teachers, community outreach pastors. Some are called to stay right here at home and to be faithful soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian, let me repeat that, every Christian needs to participate in some way. We can go, we can give, we can pray. We all have a part to play in going to the lost of this world. Proverbs 25 and verse 13 says this, "As the colt of the snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his master." I want you to understand this morning that this verse is not speaking about a snowstorm in the time of harvest, which really would have been a disaster and probably never happened in Palestine. It's referring to the practice of preserving snow and ice in the middle of winter in order to cool their summer drinks. Let me relate to this way that you might understand and know. Many of you grow up in the country, and oftentimes in the country, maybe your grandparents or great-grandparents before the invention of electricity, they would oftentimes, in the side of a mountain, they would dig a ice cave. And there in that cave, they would, in the cool of the ground, they would store ice that they would cut off from the rivers and lakes and streams. They would store ice in there, and then they would go about and sell it all during the year. That's what this is referring to. Just as the cool drink is to the thirsty man in the heat of summer, a faithful messenger is to the soul of his master. You see, you and I have a responsibility to carry this message on behalf of our leader, and it requires faithfulness. It requires diligence. So the question I have for me and for you today is simply this: can God trust you and I to carry this message faithfully and diligently? I hope and I pray that he can. An ambassador's assignment is to go, therefore, but then there's something else. It is to go preach. In Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus told us the message he wants us to carry as we go. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Think about this. There's no use in going if we're not going to carry the message of the gospel. Brother, there's no use of you going to the prison and leaving your family and friends and loved ones just to go visit with people inside jail, although that's not a bad thing to do. There's no purpose behind that. Listen, if we are going to go, we got to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul describes this very, very simple gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 through 4. He says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep the memory which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3 begins the gospel message. "For I delivered unto you that first of all, how I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You understand this morning that this gospel has tremendous power? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You see, the duty of an ambassador for Christ could be summed up this way from our text verse. Basically, we could say this: I am an ambassador for Christ. You who are saved and born again are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent me to beseech you to be reconciled unto God. And this is the message of the gospel and the ministry that we have as Christ's ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, Paul writes this: And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To be reconciled really means this. It means to reestablish a close relationship between two parties that has been broken. You see, man's fellowship with God has been broken by sin. And the Son of God came to earth to shed his blood and die for that sin. The price has already been paid. Forgiveness has already been purchased by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, the way of reconciliation is open for you and I. But here's the truth: a man has to receive that gift of God. And that's the message that you and I have to proclaim. Well, we have access. We have an adversary. We have an assignment. Then notice quickly, and then we'll be done. We have an address as an ambassador of Christ. We have an address as the ambassador for Christ. You know, an ambassador might live in a foreign nation, but the ambassador's real home is in the native country, and it's in his native country, and his stay in a foreign country is only temporary. When you were overseas in the military, your native country was not where you stayed at. It was back home here in the United States of America. And as ambassador for Christ, our temporary address is here on this earth. We're placed on this earth just temporary to serve as an ambassador for Christ. We have a mission. We have a specific job that he has called us and empowered us to do. This world is only a temporary residence for you and I. We're only here for a certain length of time. Some lengths are shorter, some lengths are longer of time, but understand this: nobody lives here on this earth forever and ever and ever. There's coming a time where God's going to call his ambassadors out of their assignments here on this earth and back to the home country. There's an old hymn that I'm reminded of that's entitled this: This World Is Not My Home. It goes something like this: This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We see an ambassador has an earthly temporary address, but then as we close, notice our permanent address in heaven. You see, Jesus made it very clear that you and I are not to look at this earthly residence, but we are to look as heaven as our real home. He said in Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think the Apostle Paul encouraged us to look ahead for our real home in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He said this, beginning in chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. There's an old song that goes something like this as well. What a day that will be. It reminds us of the joy of our eternal home. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim our eyes, and there'll be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. The chorus goes like this: What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. There's a story told of a missionary couple who spent over 50 years on the mission field. Because of the poor health, they decided they needed to come back to the United States. And back in the day, airplanes weren't as faithful as they are today. So they decided they were going to abort a ship and return back to America. And as they headed toward the harbor of New York, they were touched to see a tremendous crowd that was waiting for them. Welcome banners blew in the wind, and bands sounded a heartening greeting for the returning couple. But as the ship approached the dock, the missionary couple really strained to see the faces of loved ones and their prayer warriors for over 50 years that had prayed for them. At that exact moment, they realized that the crowd, the banners, and the bands were not really there for them. Apparently, a political celebrity was on the ship, and this welcome was for them. And as they left the ship, the missionaries realized there was nobody there. Not one person came to greet them. Not one person came to thank them for their service or to welcome them home to America after 50 years of service as a missionary in a foreign field. As they walked down the plank to get to the dock, his wife took the husband's arm and whispered in his ear, "Honey, we're not home yet." And child of God, we are not home yet. Our home country is not where we live now, but it's in heaven. And as ambassadors for Christ, may we never forget that our rewards or above, and may we faithfully serve our King. You see, as an ambassador for Christ, we have access to our Heavenly Father. And even though we have an adversary, the Bible tells us, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Heavenly Father, our King, has given us an assignment to take and go with the gospel to all the world, understanding all the while that we live in a temporary address right now, but a permanent address awaits for us up in heaven. And one day soon, our King will call us home. We all long to hear our King say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So the question we have this morning, are you representing Him well as an ambassador for Christ? Are you being a faithful ambassador? I pray that you are. Heavenly Father,